Today on Real Radio.
God says, woe to those who call good evil and evil good, who put darkness in the place of light and light in the place of darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isn't that our age? Isn't that where we live right now?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. We're in a series that takes a real close look at verses 18 and 19 of the second chapter, where John uses two terms that really should concern every true follower of Jesus Christ: Antichrist, singular, and Antichrists, plural. The text indicates that every Antichrist looks and behaves and sounds like us, while never being of us in the first place. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing his mini-series called Who is Antichrist?
The spirit of Antichrist is in the world. You can put up a poster at Cal Poly or wherever you want, and you can have a homosexual club formed immediately. You put up a Christian announcement, and you're going to get flack from the faculty and from everybody else. The Constitution of the United States is worded very clearly that the government shall not dictate or create any law to sequester the church in any way, thus the separation of church and state. But is that how it's portrayed on TV? No. In fact, they say, no, separation of church and state, the church can't have anything to do with regarding the apparatus of the state. That's the exact perversion of the Constitution of the United States. The government is to not dictate what the church does by any means. How did that happen? A spirit, anesthesia of the Antichrist permeating, denying Jesus Christ. The second thing is that it's to live in opposition to the scripture. What is it to be Antichrist? It's to live in opposition to the scripture. It's to say, I'm not going to obey the scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, but know this, he says, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Hey, I'm going to read this passage, and you tell me if this doesn't describe tomorrow's soap operas that you're not going to watch. But know this, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. Isn't that our time? That's our age, isn't it? Without self-control. Blame everybody, do anything but take responsibility for being out of control. Brutal, despisers of good things, traitors, headstrong, haughty. You think it's tough coming here? This is Paul talking. Haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That means you'll find them in church. Who? The heady, the brutal, the despisers of good. Where do you find them? Go to church. That's right, Mildred. I knew we shouldn't have come here. There's a bunch of hypocrites in church. Yes, there is. They're everywhere. At least here, we should admit it, confess it, and be off with it. To be Antichrist is to oppose the Word of God. What does the Bible say? It says thus and so. What are you going to do? Listen, everybody. You know you're in trouble when someone says, yeah, but the Bible says this to you. And your comeback is, yeah, but. The moment you hear a yeah, but, that counseling session's now over. I am not a good counselor. People come into my, oh, yeah, I want to talk to Pastor Jack. All right. You're in for it now. Why? I say, hi, nice to meet you. Let's sit down. Before we get started, are you a Christian? Yes. Do you have a Bible? Mm-hmm. Do you read it? Yes. Great. What's your problem? I'm going to leave my wife. Why? I don't think we were ever in love to begin with. Well, gee, you have a problem, because the Bible says you can't. It says you can't. You can't do it. Can't. Do you know what I hear next? Yeah, but. And it's over at that point. I will say this. You either obey what this says now, or I want you to now, in the hearing of myself and his holy angels, I want you to renounce his name now. I'll give you 5 minutes. Which will it be? Well, you mean it's that black and white? It's that black and white. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things I say? Well, I thought I could be a Christian and still rob banks. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. Can't I shoot a little heroin and still carry my Bible on Sunday? The Bible says no drug addict is going to inherit the kingdom of God. Well, what about all my idols? You know, I kind of do the God thing on Sunday, but during the rest of the week, I got all my other stuff going on. God says no idolater is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Galatians chapter 5. It's important. To be antichrist in spirit is to disobey willfully the word of God. And the world is against the word of God. To be antichrist also is to proliferate false doctrine and to promote it. The key to whether a doctrine is correct or not is what it says about Jesus Christ. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. They are deceivers. Interesting. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, and from such people turn away from. For of this sort are those who creep into households. That's a scary, it's kind of scary, huh? You know, just think of a snake. They creep into households and take captive gullible women. Wow. That's what kind of happened in the garden. Paul tells us in Timothy that Adam was not deceived. Did you know that? It says Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived. The serpent came to Eve. What's amazing to me, if you read it carefully, the serpent spoke to her. She didn't think anything wrong with that. Now, maybe there wasn't anything wrong with that. Maybe it was like a Dr. Doolittle world. Honestly, what if all the animals talked? What if the giraffes talked to Adam? The reason why I bring that up is there's a snake. Remember, it stood upright. It wasn't on its belly. Remember that? And it was beautiful. I have a hard time believing that. Here's this serpent talking to Eve. She didn't say, why are we having this conversation? Or she didn't say, how can this be? He came and challenged doctrine. He said, has God truly said? Eve, what's the answer? What's the answer? For $600, Eve, the answer is, yes, he did say that. She didn't say that. She began to doubt just by the way he phrased it. Hath God really said? Surely the day that you eat of it, you shall not die. Challenging God's authority. And it says there, when Eve saw that it was going to make her wise, that it was going to be pleasant to eat and beautiful to the eyes, the three areas of temptation, she took the fruit and ate of it. She was beguiled by the serpent, the spirit of Antichrist. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, the way we combat this spirit of Antichrist is really what we're doing right now, teaching on it. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul says, preach the word. How are we going to war this fight? Preach the word. How are we going to stop the onslaught of evil? Preach the word. Now, we say preach the word, assuming people are going to listen. Assuming we're going to listen, right? James has been teaching us that we're not to be hearers only, but doers. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. That means be ready at the instant that you're called upon. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up to themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. We could spend the whole night on that, and we're not going to. The proliferation of false doctrine, passing on of false doctrine. Is there any doctrine going on in your life? You love the Lord, and you're very sincere. Sincerity doesn't count, quite frankly. But you've been saying this. Maybe you read it in a book. Maybe you even bought a book at a Christian bookstore. And you read this thing, and now you're repeating what you read in this book because it sounded okay to you, and you didn't know any better. You better make sure what you're saying is in the Bible. There's a lot of false doctrine out there. The second thing that we want to make note of tonight is, what is the spirit of Antichrist? What is the spirit of Antichrist? Well, the first thing is, it's a mindset. It's a philosophy of belief. It's against Christ. Yes, we've covered that. It's against doctrine, yes, but it's a mindset. It's a way of thinking, and here it is. It is neutral or against Christ. It's a way of thinking. And this is frightening, people, because regarding the definition of the spirit of Antichrist, we have friends, you and I do. We have maybe even family members who are of the spirit of the Antichrist, and yet if you laid this on them, they would be horribly offended. And this is what I mean. You might say to them, hey, Uncle Johnny, do you believe that Jesus Christ was God come in human flesh and died on the sins for the world? I think that's ridiculous. I think Jesus was a very, very nice man. But I think we all get to heaven in the end, that our good will outweigh our bad, the scale will tip, and on we go into heaven. You know, that sounds so sweet, doesn't it? How many little grandchildren on Papa's lap have heard such things? Sounds sweet. It's absolutely false doctrine. And that comes from this spirit of Antichrist. It is a belief system. It's this way. Now, the most blatant, obvious spirit of Antichrist, the most obvious, would be that of evolution. The denial that God exists at all. Which is interesting, seeing how new evolution now is admitting that God does exist, and that your ultimate evolution will be you into godhood. That's interesting, isn't it? Sounds a little new age, doesn't it? Evolution is a man-made religion of its beliefs that tries to explain away God's existence and his person. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, 1 Timothy 6, 20, Paul told Timothy, he says, keep that which was committed to your trust, avoid profane and vain babblings. Isn't that great? Wouldn't you love to be walking around with Paul? See that guy over there? Tim, see that guy? Look at him. He's just over there vain babblings. He's just babbling on. He says, avoid vain babbling and opposition of science, falsely so-called. Isn't that great? 1 Timothy 6:20. What a great statement that is. Science speaks of God. Evolution avoids him. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, it says, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is of God, again, is of the Antichrist. What is the spirit of Antichrist? It is a mindset, it's a belief. Also, it's a rebelliousness against God. It's a rebelliousness. It's any system of belief, position, that one holds in defiance of God. It defies God. It goes against what God has revealed, or what God desires from his word. We understand what he wants, but this defiance, this rebelliousness pushes it away. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, God says, woe to those who call good evil and evil good, who put darkness in the place of light and light in the place of darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isn't that our age? Isn't that where we live right now? Calling so many wonderful things, it's evil. Last week, we had a wonderful chance. Amir was here from Jerusalem. We had a chance had time with him, and he had just come, and we're going to be showing it to you, by the way, not tonight, but we're going to show you, I trust, that he got a home video from Brad Bernal, Cassie Bernal's dad. Amir had Cassie Bernal's church and her pastor, he was leading them on their Holy Land tour when the Columbine shootings broke open. And so Amir, they planted a tree for Cassie in Israel. And Amir was in Columbine just the other day to present this award regarding that Cassie, as like this tree, an olive tree symbolizing the hope of Israel and the hope of the world. So Cassie now has an olive tree announcing that she's alive in the presence of the Lord Jesus because she made Jesus her Lord and Savior. You know this, and they've had this on news. Wonderful declaration, wonderful family, loves God tremendously, and we'll be watching that beautiful home video of Cassie that we'll get to see, and it's with their permission. It's great. Now, you may have seen the wonderful service that Franklin Graham gave. And did you hear the fallout from that service? Jesus Christ was preached because it was the desire of the deceased and the parents that Jesus Christ be preached. All the media showed up, even international media showed up. That was their choice, don't you think? The gospel was preached by Franklin Graham, and it was a very hot message. It was direct, man. You need to either, if you want to see Cassie again, you accept Jesus Christ and go the way she did, or reject Christ, and you have positioned yourself for hell. So choose today. Everybody's furious about this. Furious. And the ACLU looked into suing the people responsible for the service. If your child died and Franklin Graham preached that message, the ACLU was trying to figure out how they could sue you. That is communism, or worse. Calling good evil and evil good. He gave the hope of heaven. He gave the announcement to everybody, you can go see Cassie again. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And the synagogues of Greater Denver want to sue. And they hired the ACLU because, quote, Jesus had too much time in these services, close quote. I'm serious. Calling good evil and evil good. This stuff doesn't bother me. This stuff doesn't bother me. This stuff doesn't bother me. Paul tells us perilous times will come. What is the spirit of Antichrist? It's a mindset, yes, and it's a rebelliousness against God, yes. It's also liberal theology. Yeah, the spirit of Antichrist can be found in the camps of those who hold to a liberal theology, reinterpreting Scripture, saying, I'll tell you what the Bible means. When the Bible tells us in 1 John, we'll read it in a few weeks, where the Scripture says, we have no need that we should be taught by any man, but we have the anointing. It's a reference to the Holy Spirit. That when I stand up here and teach from the Word of God, you, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you, your spirit bears witness with the Spirit of God that this is the truth, the Bible's coming out. And John says, you have no need that anyone teach you. You might say, well, Jack, what are you doing up there then? When the Word of God is taught, remember, Ephesians chapter 4 says that the Holy Spirit has given some to be apostles, some to be teachers, some to be evangelists, some to be pastor teachers, which is what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. I'm teaching. I'm a pastor teacher. But it's by the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit as we use the Word of God. You, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you sit here and you listen. And you, like Berea, you listen to everything that Paul is saying or Jack is saying or Chuck Smith or Chuck Swindoll or Billy Graham. You're listening and you're judging. You judge everything you hear on the radio. You judge what's coming from every pulpit, from every cassette tape. You listen and you judge it against the Word of God. You should always be practicing Acts 17:11, that they search the Scriptures daily to see if these things were true. that will steer you away from liberal theology, because people, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Liberal theology, superstitions, and strange, aberrant things in the name of Christ. We have, not far from here, what is this school? I vowed to forget it, and I almost have. The Claremont School of Theology, is that what it is? Where the Jesus Seminar people are at? And they have declared themselves to be the authority on the Bible for this day and age in which you and I live, to the world. And this is not a cult. They claim to be mainline Christianity, and they're going to tell you what part of the Bible is true and what is not true. They're going to tell you. They've written a book on it. Interestingly enough, all these things that give you hope and excitement and conviction, Jesus didn't really say that. You know what Jesus really did say? That in the reference there in the Gospels about where the tithing, where the widow brought her widow's mite, and there's a message on tithing, they, of course, conveniently say, oh, he did say that part. Oh, yes, send me your money. Liberal theology. Do you know how to combat it? You have to know your Bible. Yeah, got to be reading your Bible. You got to keep doing what you're doing right here tonight. Eating, eating, eating the Word of God. Liberal theology spiritualizes Scripture, spiritualizes Jesus, takes a non-literal approach to the Bible. Again, we say this over and over again, but when it's literal, it's literal. It's presented literally. And how do we know this? Because prophecy. When prophecy is fulfilled, it's fulfilled literally. But when Scripture is typological or symbolic or non-literal, it says things like, and I saw, as it were, a beast rising up out of the sea. Did you get that language? Did you get it? As it were. Symbolic language. That warns you immediately. This is a type. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus, what? As or like a dove. Immediately, in good Bible theology, we know immediately that it was not a what? Very good. It was not a dove. Well, what's the dove doing on the wall up here? I don't know. I don't know why it's... The Holy Spirit, you know, it's a typological announcement. It's very simple. It's very simple. So simple that if you think too hard, you're going to miss it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, taking us through a section of 1 John chapter 2. It's a mini-series that examines verses 18 and 19. It's one of the passages in this letter where the apostle warns true believers to watch out for Antichrist, singular, and Antichrists, plural. The title, Who is Antichrist? Who is Antichrist is actually a series within a series, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at these three New Testament letters written by the Apostle John himself. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Also, since we're nearing the close of 2013 and you may be looking for a place to send your year-end gift, remember that we're making available the book by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs called Turnaround at Home. We'll send you Turnaround at Home by Jack and Lisa Hibbs. It's all yours for your gift of any amount toward the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Call, click, or write, but do it as soon as you can. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or visit realradioactive.org to place your gift and request Turnaround at Home, the brand new book written by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs. Or write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. Our telephone number again, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.